Brother Freeman has chosen song number 318, the first and second verses. And then we'll ask Brother Dave to come up and open with prayer.
Two verses.
Two verses, yes. First two. 318.
Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. We do thank you for this great opportunity to gather with those of like precious faith. We do thank you for thy tender mercies towards us, thy guidance and protection as we travel to this convention and the hospitality of this home. We do look forward to the good spiritual food that is to follow and do ask that thy will be done in all things. And now we do thank you for the lessons we've heard in prior times from our dear brother Freeman. We'd ask to bless his heart and mind that we once again might receive a blessing. And please bless all the hearts bowed in prayer here that we might be receptive, that we might prove all things, that we might grow and become grow in the likeness of thy great Son. Forgive us where we become short, for we ask these favors of you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Freeman's theme is Divinely Appointed Times and Seasons.
Thank you, Brother Bruce.
Well, we're certainly happy to be here in your midst. It's been a real blessing for the last 5 years to be down here in Sister Eleanor's home. We did this talk, 3 weeks ago, Brother David, up in Vancouver. Divinely Appointed Times and Seasons. Our God is a great timekeeper. He doesn't make mistakes. Everything that He has said through the prophets has occurred exactly on time. He has fixed periods. We know in B.C. 1813, at the death of Jacob, to A.D. 33, that was how many years? 1845 years, Israel's period of favor. We look just to touch on the fixed periods. You have 606 B.C. to 1914, which we believe is 2,520 years. 454 to A.D. 29, the 483 years. A.D. 29 is when our Lord, this is first advent. Right on time. 454 B.C. to A.D. 33, The death of our Lord. We're going to touch on all these. I just leave that as is. I had that in front of me here. We're going to talk about some things here that are very important if we know what time it is. Chronology is a very important part of God's divine plan. If we don't understand the chronology, I can understand why we don't understand the whole plan. Appointed times and seasons, Ecclesiastes 3:1. There is an appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. Verse 17 of chapter 3. The writer states, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. So we see, dear friends, our God is a great timekeeper. He is a God of order. Everything that he does is in accordance with a definitely prearranged plan. And his appointed times and seasons are no insignificant or unimportant part of that divine plan. During the next few minutes, we are going to examine some of the appointed times and seasons. We know in many instances there he says, in due time. And we'll quote those scriptures in for a moment. He had days in the Bible. The third day, the last day, the seventh day. These all occurred at the time appointed. You had the 70 weeks in Daniel's 9:24 through 27. You had Israel's favor and disfavor, their double. You had the time, in the time of tribulation. We have the seven times and we have the times of restitution. So we can see here, dear friends, time is a very important element in every feature of our God's divine plan. Everything that he does is in accordance with a definite prearranged plan, and his appointed times and seasons are no insignificant part, which I'm repeating myself. In due time, in Romans 5:6, Christ died for the ungodly. 1 Timothy 2:6. Christ gave himself at the appointed time, Christ gave himself a ransom for all in due time. 1 Peter 5:6. The church is to be exalted in due time. In due time, and every other recorded feature of the divine plan and its time and season will be made manifest. The Almighty God has fixed and definite times and seasons for every feature of his great work, and his infinite power and wisdom guarantee that there can be no miscarriage or delay. So, examine a few scriptures that we may learn what God is pleased to show us with reference to his times and season. And reprint 43:44. Time and ought have to do with every feature of the divine plan. That it has an exactness to a day. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the due time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. At exactly the right time, our Lord began his ministry. Exactly 3.5 years thereafter, it ended on the very day in the type. On the very day indicated in the type, the Pentecostal blessing came. And we may be sure that it was the very day indicated that the incidents of this lesson of Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, occurred in A.D. 36. That day must have been exactly 3.5 years after our Lord's crucifixion. Why? Because according to divine prophecy, 70 weeks of years, 490 years that is, had been specifically set apart as a period of favor to the Jewish nation. It had been foretold that at the beginning of the last 7 years of that period, Messiah would come. And that in the exact middle of that last thousand years, it was fulfilled. The Messiah was cut off in death, but not for his own sins, but for the people. It had been foretold that the prophecy would be marked by the anointing of the Most Holy at Pentecost, and the further end of the 70th week would also be marked as the termination of God's special favor toward Israel. It was so marked by sending the gospel message to Cornelius, the first Gentile convert. You know, I find it very difficult to... Well, let me say this. The Gentiles didn't even have access until after the 70 weeks were over. The 70 weeks had to be completed. So how can we condemn someone in that regard? It didn't open up until then. We're going to talk a little bit about the times of restitution. And how was it? It was spoken by how many of the prophets? Of the mouth of all of God's holy prophets. I've got many scriptures here on that. We're not going into those, though. But you've got one after another, and restitution is the theme. One man lost something. Another man is going to restore that which was lost. Here again, reading Acts 3:21, all of it. Whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. And looking at the comments on that, on the strength of this inspired statement alone, we have clear evidence of the fact that our Lord's second advent was due when the times of restitution were due to begin. Namely, in October 1874. As marked by the Jubilee Arrangement, Volume 2, page 188. Restitution signifies, again, as you already know, it means to restore. To put back again into a proper condition. Has that happened? No, it has not. But remember the Lord's words in Isaiah 55:11. Not one word shall return unto me void, but but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. So this is prophecy pending fulfillment. Restitution again signifies to restore and to put back again. The times of restitution are the same as the times of regeneration in Matthew 19, verses 27 and 28. Let's look at 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. Let's look at that. 2 Peter 1:19-21. And so we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Turn with me to the left there, to 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So we have this Bible here. I realize the King James has something, I forget, over 20,000, is that right, interpolations? But the point is, not one word that was written here, those prophets that were inspired, not one word shall return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. But it has a due time. There are other scriptures. You might want to look at 1 Peter 10 through 12, Acts 3:18, Luke 1:70, and we'll leave it at that. So restitution of all things, as we read a moment ago in Acts 3:19 through 21, this was pictured by Israel's Jubilee in Leviticus 29:25-9-13. We won't read that at this time. Here again, brethren, Israel's restoration is a sign. Are they back? I believe so. The Apostle Paul reminds us in chapter 11, verse 12 and 15, he distinctly shows that the regathering of Israel signifies a regathering of Israel, or restitution for all mankind. Was the ransom for all? In Genesis 22:18, in thy seed shall how many? All the nations of the earth be blessed. Brethren, we have not seen the blessing that's being referred to here. All the families of the earth in Genesis 12:3. Here it says nations. Everyone's going to be blessed, given an opportunity for everlasting life. Again, in 26:4 of Genesis, he told Israel, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Israel today, even here in this country, I noticed here just last week or whenever it was, that you're dealing with Israel. That's the nation that you should not, that's not the right one to deal, I mean, go against. But the point is, our country right here, the president, new president, is admonishing Israel. Not wanting them to expand. Don't want them to do this. Don't want them to do that. But they are going to have a lot more than what they actually have. But we see all of these things occurring. Numbers 14:21. Our Lord here with a blessed assurance. As truly as I live, the writer states, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of God. Do we see that today? Today they call wrong right and right wrong. In Malachi, I believe that's where that is. We were discussing that a little bit earlier on the table over there. But this, because Isaiah 62, we see that being fulfilled. Darkness covers the earth, ignorance of God's divine plan, and gross darkness the people. We know that eventually, behind this dark cloud, there's a silver lining because of what has been promised. In 1 Kings 8:56, our Lord states, of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many fail? Not one. Not one has failed. In Psalms 90, verse 3 and 4, here's again, doing the restitution, here's a promise. Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past. I have just so many scriptures there, but I'm not going into those. How about Habakkuk during the times of restitution here? Habakkuk 2:14. Does he not promise that for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? That hasn't happened, has it, Brother Bruce? But this is a promise pending fulfillment. I think you all recall Aaron and his four sons. When were the people blessed? Was it not after they came out of the Most Holy? Moses and Aaron come out of the Most Holy. And how many were blessed of the people? All the people. We're looking at in that Most Holy over there on the end. The Lord's goat is still being sacrificed. There are those who are still running for the prize of the high calling. Nothing will happen until that top stone on that pyramid is in place. That has to be in place before all these blessings that we're referring to will come to the people. All the people. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 13. What's the promise? In times of restitution, I will make the place of my feet glorious. Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. He's going to make this, what we're looking at today, it's going to be made glorious. In Isaiah 35:1, during the times of restitution, which we already, don't misunderstand me, I hope I'm not conveying the wrong thought here. Times of restitution has already begun. But I'm talking about at the point where the place of his feet being made glorious and all of these. So keep that in mind. They're going to all know him from the least to the greatest and all that. It's a process. It's a process. Isaiah 35:1 says, the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. Luke 2:10. Behold, I bring you bad news. No, he didn't say that. I bring you good news of great joy, future, which shall be unto how many? All people. In Haggai 2:7, the desire of all nations shall come in the times of event, and that some parts of this times of restitution. And again, restitution has already begun. How about the 70 weeks in Daniel's 9? Isn't that an appointed time? The 70 weeks we referred to a moment ago. It states that 70 weeks are the 9, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. That's going to happen, dear brother. I know part of this is the price has already been paid. It's money in the bank right now. It's a surety. It's not being applied to the world of mankind yet because the Lord's goat is still being sacrificed. But as Brother Wilmot always says, it's already in the bank. It's there. The ransom for all has been a dime. But it's a matter of time. In due time, that merit will be appropriated after they come out of the most holy. When that Lord's goat has finished in that tabernacle over there, they come out to bless all the people. What is the wages of sin? What is the gift of God? That's going to happen. That's going to happen, which we're very thankful that we know that it is. In verse 25, and we're not going to analyze what we just read, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be how long? 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Well, some use Jerusalem, but it's the walls that was the decree back in Nehemiah chapter 2. It's in there in a number of places. So here again, the 480, we referred to 483 years ago. That began, we believe, in 454 B.C. when this decree was issued. 454 B.C. And here again, we're looking at 454, we're looking at he was going to be cut off in the middle of the week. Was our Lord cut off in AD 33? I believe he was. 29, 36, the last 1,000 years of the last 7,000. Each one of those creative days were how long? 7,000 years in length. We're in the 49th thousand at this particular point in time. Were the Jews, what happened every 50th year for the Jew? Weren't they set free from their bondage and their debts? Well, you're coming up on the 50th thousand year now. It's a little bit different than what the 50 years that we refer to. But this is where everyone will be set free from the bondage of sin and death. Realizing, even here, I know Brother David gave me something to part with here, and I can't remember to do it. But between 10 and 11 here, 10 and 11 on that chart, the gospel age is still, it's not completed yet. It's when that ends, between 10 and 11 on that chart. The knowledge of God is going to be in the land as the waters cover the great deep. They're going to all know him. Jeremiah 31, 34. They're going to all know him from the least to the greatest. But people die every day in ignorance of God's divine plan. But all of those individuals, because God desires that all men be saved from that Adamic penalty that occurred back here. I'll get it right. One is When Adam sinned, because of Adam, how many die? Because of Christ? And that has been going on from here. But here and here, when they come out of the Most Holy to bless all the people, right here between 10 and 11, the church is complete and the blessings flow out to the world of mankind. 7 is complete. You won't need any time. There's no time going to be on this, on the other side of here. There's no time. That's forever. Well, we have the little season. I'm not discounting that. But you do have the little season after the 7,000 years are complete. The church was complete, will be completed before this line is filled in 10. That's the end of the gospel dispensation. Now, those who sin willfully after having been brought into a knowledge of the truth here, and Hebrews 10:26 tells us that they've been all given an opportunity. They all have been blessed with the knowledge of the truth. They have an opportunity. They're no longer under the curse anymore from Adam. What is it, in 31:29, I believe it is, in Jeremiah, they won't be able to use the proverb, the fathers have eaten the sour grape and the children's teeth are set on edge. Every man will die for his own sins after they've been brought into an accurate knowledge of the truth here. They're not going to pass beyond this. Only those who have been obedient. And that's the requirement. That's the condition. Obey and live. Disobey and die. In 9:26 it says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. And we stated that a moment ago. That happened. Right at the appointed time. Why was our Lord not sent? Maybe the 3,000 year day of these last 7,000. Well, that wouldn't be in harmony with, he was here on the 5,000 year day from Adam. All of the fifth has passed, the 1,000 years. The 6,000 year day has passed, and where are we? Early in the morning, does he not tell us that in the scriptures he's going to help her, the church, right early? And that's where we are today. Early in the morning of this last day. That is going to happen, dear brother. And we should rejoice knowing that our God is a great timekeeper and it won't happen until it's the due time. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. But we'll move on because of our time. So 454 was the beginning of the 70 weeks. And even the 2300, what is in chapter 8 of Daniel also, you have the 2300 days and evenings, 2300 years also began there in 454 BC when that decree was issued. What about the days of Daniel? You had 1260. This is the times appointed, fixed times and season. You had the 1260, you had the 1290, and you had the 1335, did we not? Isn't that what Daniel refers to? And we get an indication of that time from, 12:7? Time, times, and a half time, and that will equate to the 1260. We believe that began in, what was it, 539 AD. That's when it began. 1260. Did papacy not, did Napoleon not take the Pope prisoner in 1878 and take him to France?
Did he not die at the very time in 1878?
Did I say, well, I think that's what I meant.
1878? I'm getting this off. Did I get that wrong? I thought I did. But anyway, he died at 1799. I knew I was off somewhere. 1798 was when he took the Pope prisoner. But he had that 1260 years, the abomination of desolation. He had those 1260 years. He died exactly 1799. Isn't that where knowledge, the increase, and what is it, Daniel's 12:4? Knowledge shall be increased, people going to and fro, and all of this. Well, all of that occurred exactly on time. Not before, not after. What about the Miller movement in 1290? The 1290 days. Exactly at the right time. The 1335 days, we know that's 1874. Our Lord returned for a second. That's when his second advent. So we can see, brethren, there are times and seasons that are fixed in God's divine plan of the ages. Israel's disfavor, as we stated a moment ago, began. If the favor began in 1813 B.C., and it ended when? In the middle of the week, A.D. 33. That's a period of 1845 years of favor. But in Jeremiah 16:18, it tells you there's going to be a double. That was a double. Well, add 1845 to AD 33, where does that take us? 1878. What's so significant about 1878? Well, first of all, there was a Jewish prime minister in England at the time. Was that by coincidence? They had that time, that double ended in 1878. Jewish Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli, I believe Lord Beaconsfield was his official title. But also, the Jews were able to start repurchasing land again in Israel. Turkey was having their problem. The money. One of the ex-Prime Ministers, whoever it was, it was a good while back, after last year, whenever it was, I saw something in the paper to that effect. He said 1948 wasn't when it began. It began, he said, in 1878. I don't know which one of the prime ministers it was. Another thing in 1878, Israel's disfavor ended. So what does he tell us in 18:4 of Revelations at that particular point in time to do what in that system? Come out of her, my people. I know there are some who maybe disagree with that. That's the way I understand it. 1878, and again in Revelations 18:4, and we see that occurring today. I forget what it says. Every unclean bird, I can't quote it. I have my Bible here. But anyway, now he tells the church after Israel's disfavor ended to come out of that system. And if you stay in there, those plagues. And we see what's in that system today, do we not? That is, I was there, so I know what goes on there. And I'm so thankful today that I was blessed to come out of that system. I had no idea. Bible students, I knew nothing about that. But I was forced out of the system. I didn't know to come out. I was forced out. And I'm so thankful. I count my blessings every day. So now, I come out into this marvelous light. And I tell a lot of the friends, I say, you can't relate. Those that came up in that court there, those that came up in the court, I'll get it right one.
Is that, okay. Yeah, that's down in there.
That's in the court. Those that came up in the court, they haven't been exposed to all of this. I don't know where I was out there, but it was quite a ways. But I'm so thankful today that to see God's divine plan. So here again, he tells us in Jeremiah 16:18 that he was going to repay them, I will recompense thee double. And that ended, I believe, in 1878. The exact time that Israel's disfavor ended. They could repurchase land again. Zechariah 9:9, again dealing with the double, it tells us to rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now notice in verse 12, that very day, in giving you exactly our Lord, what he went to them, and their house was left unto them desolate after that, exactly that very same day. Right on time. So God's appointed times and seasons are a very important part of his divine plan of the ages. So again, he says he would render double unto them. But now if we go over to Isaiah 40:1-2, here he tells us to do what? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. And cry unto her that her warfare is ended, is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. So here again, that period, that has been fulfilled. That particular time feature has been fulfilled. Israel's back as a nation, are they not? He told them he was going to scatter them. That's what he did. But then he told them, I'm going to bring you back. How about the times of the Gentiles? In Luke 21:24, said, Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Has that period been fulfilled? Yes. How do we arrive at that? We know the seven times in Leviticus 26, four times it's listed that. If they didn't obey him, I'll punish you seven more times. Seven. So here again, seven times 360 using the lunar year, seven times 360 would equate to 2,520 years. It began in 606 B.C., not in Nebuchadnezzar's reign, but in Zedekiah when he lost the crown. 606 B.C., we minus the 606 from the 2,520, and that takes us where? 1914. What happened in the 1914? That was the First World War. Exactly on time. Again, our Lord, our God is a great timekeeper, Sister Eleanor. He doesn't make mistakes like Freeman does. I was supposed to be a little bit early. I told you that last night, but here I'm coming out so late. But here again, Leviticus 26, it's there four times, 18, 21, 24, 28, those four verses. I will punish you seven times more for your sins because of their disobedience. And if you multiply seven times to 360, it equates to 2,520. The times of the Gentiles lasted from 606 B.C. to 1914. That's exactly what he told them that. Great timekeeper. Let's look at one of the day, one day, one of the third day here. He told them in
Exodus 19 and 11, let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So here again, the comments from that is in reprint 37.5. The 3 days of purification represent the gospel age. Our Lord's first advent occurred early on the 5,000-year day. The sixth day has passed, and we are now in the morning of the 7th or millennial day. That's where we are, exactly where we are today. The new law covenant will be made during the millennial day. Did he not promise a new covenant was to be made with Israel? But they can't. Nothing can happen here until they come out of the most holy. The Lord's goat has to be sacrificed first before this can be fulfilled. The Jewish day and the gospel age being preparatory for prior to the covenant. We have some very blessed assurances that are, well, let's look at another day here. Should have unhooked this and I didn't. Our Lord, as we stated, was here on the 5,000-year day from Adam. Why is that so important? The 6,000-year day has passed. We're early in the morning of the third day, which is the 7th day. Had he come on the 4,000-year day, this scripture would not harmonize. In John 2:19-21, Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days he will do what? I will raise it up." So is the church being raised at this? Are they, 14:13 of Revelations? Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. Do we not know that the harvest still continues? The Day of Atonement, brethren. The Day of Atonement. They're still in the sacrificing robes. They haven't put on the robes of glory and beauty yet. They haven't come out of that most holy. And they come out of there to bless all the people. You have been blessed and invited to be participants of this wonderful blessing that God is going to bestow upon mankind. You have been invited to be a participant, to bless all of your fellow man. What a promise. Our Lord, he was speaking of the temple of his body in verse 21. They thought he was talking about it, the church, that building that took, I don't know what it was, 46 years or something like that to build. But he was speaking of the temple of his body, the 144,000. They were to be raised on the third day. Do we not believe that Revelations 14:13 is being fulfilled at this time? The dead who die in the Lord from henceforth, they're changed in the twinkling of an eye. They don't remain in death as the apostles had to. But our Lord is a great timekeeper. Everything that he does is on time. Let's look at the last day and we're going to close just for a moment. In John 6:39, and notice in John 6:39 and 40, you're going to be talking about two different groups that are being referred to. 6:39 and 6:40. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me," our Lord speaking, "that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again," when? "At the last day." This is the last day, brethren. This is the last 1,000 years of the last 7,000. In John 6:40, notice the class that's being referenced here, referred to. This is the church in verse 6:39, all those that were given to him. In fact, he tells us in John 17, "I'm not praying for the world, but only for those whom thou hast given me. So we know that scripture applies to the church. But in 640, notice that one. And this is the will of him that hath sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, does John 3:16 come into that one? Whosoever believeth him. And believeth in on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Two different classes are being referred to. John 3:16 again tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's the class in verse 40. And the comments on that, in these two verses, the Lord seems to distinguish between the two classes of saved ones. Verse 39 referring to the elect class of this gospel age, and verse 40 to the general blessing upon all of mankind to follow this age during the millennium. So, brethren, again, I'm going to close. It's got just a lot more there, but we're going to close. A blessed assurance in Isaiah 46:10 and 11. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. That's a blessed assurance, isn't it, sister? In verse 11, truly I have spoken, truly I will bring it to pass. I have planned it, surely I will do it. What else do we need? He's already told us not one word shall return unto him void. He's never broken a promise. One more, and we're closed. In Isaiah 14, and we'll read those three verses, 24, 26, and 27, and we're going to close. Isaiah 14, verse 24, 26, and 27. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. We see the scriptures that we talked about, some of those fixed times that have already been done. Just as I have intended, so it has happened, and just as I have planned, so will it stand. In verse 26. This is the plan devised against the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out against all the nations. For the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back? In 1 Kings 8:56, and we're close. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised to Moses. For brethren, may the Lord add his blessings and his overruling.
Thank you, Brother Freeman. It's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Knowing that our God is a great timekeeper, and everything that he does it just the exact right time, at the appointed time, at the full limit of the times, in due time. Everything that was prophesied, everything that he said would happen, came about at the appointed time. And that was very well put. I really appreciate. And how faith-strengthening that is, knowing as we as Bible students study these things, as Brother Freeman has so aptly pointed out to us in his studies, we study these things. We learn this about our God, and we know that he is that kind of a timekeeper, and what a great faith that is. How great that builds our faith for the future blessings that are still to come. So we thank you very much, Brother Freeman. That was very, very informative and very encouraging. The songs that we're going to finish 318, the last two verses of 318, and Brother Freeman will release us. Thank you.
Gracious, loving, heavenly Father, we come before Thee with praise and thanksgiving, thanking You, Father, for this opportunity to study Thy Word and fellowship with these dear ones here in this home. Father, we ask Thy continued blessings upon the fellowship and upon the convention to follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We'll proceed again at 7:15.